Sad news yesterday, guys. We were surprised by the football information that Kadarius Toney was cut from the Kansas City Chiefs.
We were?
No.
He was cut?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was literally nothing the Chiefs did yesterday that moved the needle for me. There wasn't one move that
Irv
I was surprised.
Smith didn't hit you in the feelings?
Who?
Okay. Justin Ross didn't hurt you in the feelings?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we got to stop falling in love with ancillary below average players.
That's fair. Running backs, two. Carson Steele, one, takes the fullback spot. I thought that was interesting because everyone's like, RB2, but obviously you can use. They went and got a tight end from Dallas. You hear about this guy from Dallas?
What was his name?
Norzerode
or something?
Yeah.
Peyton Hendershot.
Cutthroat?
Yeah.
Give me that jersey.
Yeah.
Hendershot.
Never heard of that guy either.
Hendershot. Sounds like a video game character
like
name.
Who? Hendershot. Remember that Sonic the Hendershot video game?
Yeah,
on
dude.
Sega back in the day?
Yeah. Let me tell you about this Hendershot guy.
People breaking down Hendershot on X yesterday cracks me up. What also cracks me up is yesterday's that day for the insiders to fall all over themselves to get a move like the Chiefs have cut. Who's that? Lucas Niang. Like, people are falling all over themselves to get that news first. Like, it doesn't matter who has it first. I mean, it's totally irrelevant. Like, the Chiefs yesterday, I hate to be like this guy, like, there was nothing that we didn't say was going to happen. We told you Sky Moore was making the team. We told you Kadarius Toney wasn't making the team. And the only, like, name that was even recognizable besides Kadarius Toney on that cut list was Lucas Niang. Mm. But Lucas Niang did it to himself. The guy sat out the COVID year, never came back, and really was ready to go. I think the Chiefs gave that cat more opportunities than they should have. And he'll probably end up maybe on a practice squad here in Kansas City. But, I mean, I wasn't surprised that they moved on from him
either. Who your favorite teammate is? Pat Mahomes.
Is that the greatest moment of Kadarius Toney's tenure in Kansas City?
No. It was the Super Bowl. I mean, really, it was the
Who
play.
Your favorite teammate is? Pat Mahomes.
It was actually this one.
Sipos will punt. End over end, shorter punt. And Toney will take it low at the 35. Now cuts back to the right. He's got a wall set. If he can get to the edge, they need to block the punter. They do. Toney's at the 40, up the sideline. At the 30, he's at the 20. Toney with the block trying to stay in play. He's down to the 5-yard line. Toney ran out of gas on a 65-yard punt return. And the Chiefs lead 28-27. They'll have first down and goal to go at the Eagles' 5-yard line with 10-11 to go in the game.
This is the playmaking ability that we knew Kadarius Toney had. Ooh. If he could stay healthy, he can be an impact, a huge force for this team. Offensively, got the touchdown, special teams as a factor, amazing blocking down the field. Noah Gray, Kemp, special team.
I'll tell you what, listening to that highlight right there, Mitch was doing a little foreshadowing, Dusty. Kadarius Toney ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And yeah, his career definitely ran out of gas. Like, that was the highlight right there. That was the moment right there for Kadarius Toney. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was a bad trade by the Chiefs at all, because they got Kadarius Toney and made two big plays in the Super Bowl, helped this team win a championship. As far as I'm concerned, it ended up being a good move. It just didn't end up being a good long-term move, you know, for this organization to where we are right now. It didn't pay off for years. It paid off for a Super Bowl. And I'll take that. It's like Christian Cologne, right? Like, Christian Cologne, people still get mad that he was picked over Chris Sale in the Major League Baseball draft. Christian Cologne helped you to two World Series and a World Championship by just being in the right place at the right time. Kind of like Kadarius Toney. Every team that wins has those players that randomly show up and make a play that you're kind of indebted to for the rest of your life as a sports fan, you know? And Kadarius Toney will always be that guy who made some nice plays in the Super Bowl. He's also the guy that, you know, just couldn't figure out how to line up on sides.
Yeah, it was just too much. When you're in that sort of position, you know, it's like, I've worked with people that have done that. I mean, hell, I almost got fired from this job because I couldn't run a digital board to where the boss said, hey, screw up again, you're gone.
Okay.
And some people, when that happens, either start to kind of make the turn, or some people just don't really ever flourish, and those people end up losing their job. And that's what happened with Kadarius Toney. And I think that, you know, I get also sidetracked by the Carrington take of the Kadarius Toney punt return, is that Philadelphia still went down and scored, and then the Chiefs still had to come back the next drive and kick the field goal to win it, which is when the Patrick Mahomes run came. But obviously the impact of the moment, the longest punt return in Super Bowl history,
right?
Yada, yada, yada. But you say Christian Cologne, and Kadarius Toney gives me like Adalberto Mondesi vibes.
Well, of course, because of the injuries and the inability to stay
and
healthy.
Like, the fact that like going into this, being like, okay, it just didn't work out in New York. Like, they just didn't, the guy just didn't fit with the team.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that at the time and a fresh start.
Right. And so at that time, I'm like, okay, well, let's just see here. We know the cliches in sports, new face, new place.
Right.
You know, change of scenery can help a guy. You look at the makeup that this guy has, which is another cliche, and you're like, okay, guy's got like 4.3 speed, separation, can get open. And the first glimpse we see of this athlete, he adjusts his gloves in midair and makes a catch and stays in bounds.
Yeah,
and you're
right,
like, told you.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You're like, this is, and that's where I like, that's where like Kadarius Toney hit his peak. And you say foreshadowing,
right?
But like, it was only down from that catch. Like, after that happened, the Super Bowl return happens, and like, you're like, here we go. And then, like a reliever in baseball, it becomes a head game.
Right.
And opening night, Detroit, you got the celebration, the Super Bowl, all the lights and bells and whistles.
Right.
And boom, tip pass, pick six.
Yep.
And maybe that was when it hit him, but that was one of those things where it's like, you know what? Every situation when that happens, Andy Reid finds you again. And the next time it happened to you, you had a chance to, legitimate chance because of what your skill set was, to catch a ball and take it 65 yards for a touchdown. And it's a different story, and the Chiefs win that game. And then it just, stuff like that happened over and over and over again, so far to the point that not only did you break your trust with Andy Reid, you broke your trust and broke the characterization of the quarterback in the league that's always seemed to be cool and you know, just in the moment, and everybody started changing their narrative on Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, he complains, he cries on the sideline. It's like, no, he's just absolutely frustrated.
He got broken on the sideline. Have you ever been broken as a man?
Yes.
Mac, you've been broken as a man. I think we've all reached that point. Way to your parents. You get broken many times a day. So we've all been to that point. That was Patrick Mahomes' breaking point, and they weren't going to allow Kadarius Toney to mess things up again.
The pitch. Swinging a ground ball to third. And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Up the left field line.
Oh, boy.
Third and 15 for the Chiefs from their own 35. And San Francisco leading by 10. 7:13 to go in the game. Seven guys drop back into his deep zone here for the 49ers. Four-man rush, but those four are enough. Here they come. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing long,
and the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Oh, boy. Hate to see it. But it just, you know, and it, to wrap up the Kadarius Toney subject and the topic of all this, is that the Adalberto Mondesi thing was like, you would watch Adalberto Mondesi play, and he'd go 3-for-4 with a home run and two stolen bases and a double and making a defensive
play. That was like once, you know, like he was unbelievable. Though, still the best base runner I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah, I mean, seven's pretty good himself.
He is, but this guy, I mean,
Go home to a third and 11.2?
Yeah, he did faster than that. Okay. I remember watching the one time that he did do that. I was sitting at the K, and I was like, oh, my God. And I even talked to Ned about that. I think it was Ned at the time. May have been Ned. I said, I've never seen anything like that. And he goes, like, it was the one time that Ned actually, like, agreed. You know, like, yeah, I totally agree.
In comes the pitch. Broken bat, one hopper to third. And over to first in time. Runner going to try to score.
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to make the roster this year.
Other notable cuts around the league. Frank Gore's son, gone. You, of course, immediately go to your brioche mindset, Mac, and think he'd be amazing to put on the Chiefs.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I mean, one another surprising cut we didn't bring up for KC was Denarik Prince, I thought.
Yeah. They didn't, yeah.
Didn't keep
Carson Steele took his job.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of. I mean, they didn't have a fullback on the roster last year. They had three running backs.
Yeah.
This year they have two running backs and a fullback.
And a fullback, yeah.
I'm just surprised.
Shows you where that running back position is headed now in this league, though. I mean, seriously, think about it. The Chiefs kept two running backs and a fullback.
yeah, that's weird. And then there's other teams that kept four great running backs. So it's really, I mean, you have Mahomes, so you get to do a couple of different things. But the fact that, yeah.
But I don't think you need to look at Steele as a fullback. I'm telling you right now, he's running back number two, okay?
Oh, I'd agree. We were the ones telling you that 3 weeks ago.
He's running back number two. He's not a fullback. So, like you can have, like, your FB and whatnot, and the name next to it and all that kind of stuff. He's your second running back. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching with him and Pacheco. Like, they really, really like this kid. They're excited about him. Like, they can't wait to get the regular season going to see what him and Pacheco can do as kind of a duo in the backfield. So, yeah, he's definitely not a fullback at all on this roster. And so I think you're probably going to see a lot of games where maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't active, you know, in that situation.
Well, that's my point, is why, yeah. Why, if that's the case, then why isn't Prince on the team? I mean, Clyde hasn't even played.
Well, because Clyde's got more experience than Prince, and I don't know anything about Prince. And quite frankly, I didn't know who he was until you just mentioned him.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, he's a nobody, guys. Come on.
Clyde's a nobody.
Clyde's still a first-round draft pick that has been in the system for a while. Let's not start, like,
Tony's a first round draft pick,
but not by this team. He wasn't. Let's not start coveting ancillary players that you recognize names of. Prince Tegawanogo is never going to see the backfield for this team. Okay, it's just not going to happen. Like, we got to stop
on the practice squad, though. I'm sure he'll clear.
We got to stop worrying about, like, oh my God, Nico Remigio was cut or Amir Smith Marset was traded. Like, we're better than those
Don't
guys.
You
okay,
dare say Irv Smith?
Who?
You be careful with my guy.
I just get frustrated with the amount of time people want to spend on no name players. They're no name players for a reason. If they were good, they'd be here.
Speaking of well named players, any NFL rostered player, who are you adding to this Chiefs team?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that driving around yesterday. If you could pluck one person off an NFL roster, who mm-hmm. you taking? Yeah. And I'm taking Christian McCaffrey now for this team. I think I think that Christian McCaffrey would be a nice piece for this offense right now. You guys can weigh in on the text line, too. Yeah.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. You could add one player of any roster to this team this year. Who would it be? By the way, I had a dream last night about Carson Steele.
You did?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I woke up and thought he was going to be Kyle Juszczyk for the Chiefs.
Oh, my friend Amanda, who cuts my hair, told me she had a dream Mm-mm. where she woke up Mm-mm. and she was walking down the street with Tyreek Hill and he was wearing high heels.
What?
I said, how did that dream end? She goes, I just woke up and that's all I can remember.
Did she watch Tu Wong Fu before she went to bed?
I do not know what she did
before
she went to bed.
Do you get that reference, Mac?
No, I don't.
Tu Wong Fu, great movie. Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes, and John Leguizamo. To me, the answer is easy. If I could add any player of any roster, give me Sauce Gardner.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's fun.
That's a good one. I like the fact that you went defense. Yeah,
Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie on the same team, going up against an offense of any team in the league.
Right.
I love Sauce Gardner. I like his pizzazz. I like his swag. I like the way he plays the game. He's got his own island that he started to create. And
he's
got
a continent, that guy. He's like Australia. Much. You know, like, that guy's so good.
And to have cornerback one and cornerback four.
One.
Yeah. At least right now, cornerback five or six, however you look at the rankings, have him and Sauce Gardner team. Nobody's throwing the ball on you.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you've got your defensive line that can give them all the time in the world. Now you're giving Sauce Gardner, like, an extra second and a half to cover a wide receiver. Game over.
Right.
You're not giving up 10 points a game.
Right. Yeah, no, you're giving up no points a game if you have Sauce Gardner on your team. Some good ones that are coming in to me. I know a lot of people are naming wide receivers. Like, that just seems to be the logical, mm-hmm. like, everybody still thinks. Like, what are these wide receivers going to have to do for you to accept that they're good wide receivers, right? Like, I think we're going to be talking about how we need to upgrade the wide receivers till, you know, the cows come home here in Kansas City, because that's how kind of things take their narrative. Like, we're going to be talking about the Royals bullpen not getting the job done, even though they've given up two runs in the last 17 innings. But I like Breece Hall a lot from the 913. Like, I secretly really, really like that player.
He's amazing.
Like, he's really good. And I don't want to say anything nice about the Jets, and we just did too much nice stuff about the Jets, mm-hmm. but Breece Hall would be a nice addition to this lineup. I think he'd be fantastic.
Mac, who you got?
Prime Jamal Charles is not playing in the NFL right now, so
give me Amir Smith Marset. No, I'm just kidding. Just piss off Bob. Miles Garrett. I'm going to go defense.
I like
as well.
That. That's a good one. Yeah, Miles Garrett's really good. Yeah.
Pass rush, you know, right next to Chris Jones. Yeah. That would just be so scary.
Right. Some people are saying Micah Parsons, Bakenslaw's yep. weighing in on that, that one. Max Crosby from the 660 is a really good one as well that's coming in. And of course, the 913, Blake Bortles, because he's the next Tom Brady. Well played.
Hate to see it. I don't know, man. I'd either take Sauce Gardner or I'd take somebody like, yeah, like the text line says, Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase and Patrick Mahomes would just be an absolute deadly combination. Because that'd be the big-bodied, fast, athletic receiver that, golly, you thought Juju was great.
Do you think they're going to break the bank for Ja'Marr Chase this offseason?
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs, I mean.
Oh. If that was the case, I'd sing my own version of Brett Veach. I'd give you verse two of Brett Veach Town.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Jettas or Chase, though?
Chase.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, dude, when they came out of college, Justin Jefferson was like, hey, dude, you think I'm good? Where do you see the guy that comes out after?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go back and watch the LSU tapes.
Yeah, but we're 4 years removed now. I've got some NFL tape, and I've on the NFL landscape, Jettas. I mean,
let's see how he does with Sam Darnold. And I'm not saying
seven games with Nick Mullins and other shit crap quarterbacks. He is.
What did you just say? Did he just say that? What I think he said? Did you dump yourself, sir? That's how you know this show is going well. And I'm being serious about
that's
that.
Awesome. Like, you can be yourself.
You just rolled into your comfort zone like we're sitting on the patio and having a good old time. And that's the appeal of the show.
Did.
And quite honestly, I didn't even really catch it.
Oh,
and
I did.
All of a sudden, I'm like, did he just say that?
Oh, that's great.
Say that
means it's probably a good time to bring in a pro of radio, Jay Binkley himself, in the flesh.
Goodness, fantastic.
We'll join him next.